Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have begun a long series of messages on the subject of scriptural marriage and family life. This is a very, very important subject in our society today because of the number of broken marriages even among Christian people. This is a shocking thing, and yet more and more Christian marriages, so-called, are breaking up. And my feeling and my deep conviction is this: it is better to prevent these things from ever happening than to simply pick up the pieces when the thing is broken. I do believe in dealing with problems. When a person has a deep, deep problem in his life, I believe in dealing with a problem. But I also believe in prevention. And you will notice as we go through this long series of messages that most of the messages are going to deal with the subject of prevention. How do we keep these things from happening in the first place? We have gotten into this subject a little bit slowly. We have tried to take it methodically, and we are trying to take it in the future, methodically and carefully. So I want to very slowly go through this series with you. If it is possible, I am hoping that many of you will follow this series to the very end. Not because of me, not because my teaching may be perfect or any such thing, but simply because we need to remind ourselves again and again that God's Word is true, God's Word has the answer to every possible need, God's Word needs to be applied to our lives, and these will be some of the suggestions for how to do it. Now today, I want to talk about Christian marriages in society. And then tomorrow, or the next day, I want to talk about how they will affect young people. But today I want to talk about why are true Christian marriages important in society for parents and adults? Why are true Christian marriages important in society for parents and adults? Now let me remind you one more time, and I may do this again and again, but it's important. If you are not saved, if you have no relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your Savior from sin, then much of this teaching will mean little to you. In other words, you may be approaching it from simply a religious standpoint or from a non-Christian standpoint altogether. So most of this teaching will mean little to you if you don't even have that relationship with the Lord Jesus. You're not even related to God through Him, in other words. Jesus said, and remember this truth, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You don't come through any other person. You don't come through any other thing, not the church, not the ordinances or the ceremonies of your church, nothing. You come to God through Jesus to be saved from your sins. All right, now let's get into this subject for today. Why are they important in society for parents and adults? First of all, and you may disagree, but I believe this to be true, true Christian marriages provide the only stable and moral basis for all relationships between men and women in society. Now, this may offend some of you, but I want to say that when God laid down the principles in the Word of God for marriage, He recognized that stable Christian marriages would be the basis for all relationships in society. Now, if marriages are not stable, you're going to find unstable relationships in society. You're going to find society itself is broken up. It can be on the political level. It can be on some other level. But whatever the level might be, when marriages are not what they should be, and when they're not really true Christian marriages, marriages that are pleasing and honoring to God, blessed by God, you're going to have instability in society in some way. Now, true Christian marriages will affect many things in society. They will affect social relationships. They will affect physical relationships between men and women. They will affect meeting the deepest needs of our lives. What are some of these needs? Well, in society, we need to share. In other words, in a marriage relationship, there is a sharing relationship. Some marriages never have this. They never share anything really with each other. It is simply a physical thing rather than a sharing experience, where two people have a deep bond between them, a deep tie between them, a wonderful blessed relationship between them, so they share with each other. It is also a nurturing relationship. In the passage that we read before from Ephesians chapter 5, it speaks of the husband nurturing his wife, cherishing and nurturing his wife. What a wonderful expression that phrase, nurture, is. It means to tenderly care for her. That's what a true Christian marriage does. It also brings encouragement as we live in society. We need encouragement. There will be discouragements in life. Some people teach that when you become a Christian, your problems disappear. What absolute nonsense that is. Of course, our problems do not altogether disappear. But we thank God that when we come into relationship with the Lord Jesus, we have someone who takes us through the problems of life. We're not alone. We're encouraged, in other words, by God Himself. Now, in a marriage relationship, two people encourage each other. This is what a true Christian marriage is. And then, of course, we also support each other in every way. And we need support in life. We know from a spiritual standpoint that the Holy Spirit is our supporter. He comes alongside to help us, according to John chapter 14. But in human relationships, we also support each other. We do it by the leading of the Lord. We support as well as encourage each other. Then, of course, in a true Christian marriage, there is complete devotion to each other. In other words, when I get married, I shut out every other outside relationship which would interfere with that marriage. There is no other person in my life that my attention is directed to. My thought life is controlled. I'm only for my wife or my husband. So I have complete devotion in a true Christian marriage to the partner to whom God has led me. We say in the marriage ceremony that no matter what, we are devoted only to that person. We're committed only to that person, in sickness or in health, in want or in plenty, and so forth. Then, of course, there's complete loyalty in a true Christian marriage. We never undercut each other. We never talk about each other outside the marriage relationship. We only speak favorably of that marriage partner. We never criticize that marriage partner outside the marriage relationship. Then, of course, there's also complete acceptance. When we come into a marriage relationship, we are not perfect. We recognize in our homes as well as in society that we have to accept each other. We accept sometimes things that we may not especially like. These may be habits we have which will not change, but they have to be accepted. And then, of course, finally, there is complete lifelong commitment. Now, I want to emphasize again that in society, these things are vitally, vitally important, that we have all of these things in our lives. It is the moral and stable basis for all relationships between men and women. Societies can exist without any Christians in that society, but societies will be better if there are true Christians living in that society who are practicing in their lives, in their marriages, and in their relationships with each other, true scriptural teaching. The second thing that I want to notice about the importance of true Christian marriages in society, they provide the only stable and moral basis for procreation and the raising and training of children in society. There's a lot of debate today about this whole matter of procreation and how can it come about. We're having all sorts of strange things happening in the courts of our country today. This is true in America, and it may be true out here in this part of the world as well. But there are all sorts of strange things happening. In other words, people don't have to have moral things anymore in their lives. Even moral relationships, people who are not married can live together, receive the same benefits as any married person. They can marry, they can get married to the wrong people. We call this immoral relationships, where they marry the wrong people. They marry people that God's Word forbids them to marry. And yet, they still get married. And these people are also recognized now in society. There are whole avenues that people can follow in protecting the rights of such people, even though God's Word forbids them. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. This simply breaks down society. When we have immorality recognized by the courts themselves, when people can go out, they can kill the newborn baby, they can kill the baby that is not yet born, they can have what we call late-term abortions or partial birth abortions, we would call them, and they can kill the baby that's even ready to be born. Even probably a minute before that child is to be born, that baby could be killed legally. And so, as we have these things in society, true Christian marriages, true Christian principles in society are going to give a stable and a moral basis for society to exist. Number three, true Christian marriages also provide the only stable and moral basis for providing examples and models that society needs to have it before it all the time. Society needs examples and models. Young people today growing up need examples and models, for instance, for their lives. They will follow the examples they find. So when we find in society models that are immoral, models that are wild as far as God's Word might be concerned, models that break every moral principle of the Word of God, young people are going to follow that. We wonder why more and more young people today are having to get married because of immoral relationships, because this is what they see in society. They may look at their own parents and find models and examples that are not true. They may have teaching that has not helped them at all. Now, even in primary schools, you can get teaching. Even at the lowest levels, you can get teaching that no young child should ever be aware of. They're even required to teach some of these things in some of the public schools in America. And then number four, true Christian marriages provide the only real basis for the solving of moral problems in society. When you have no standard, how are you going to solve the problems in society? Everyone will solve the problems according to their own desires, according to their own will, according to their own thinking. Isn't it wonderful that God in His Word gives this perfect teaching concerning life in society? In other words, when we doubt, when we wonder, what should we do with the problems of society, we go back to the Word of God. We find in the Word of God that perfect teaching. Now, what does this have to do with Christian marriages? It's a fact that these teachings are practiced in Christian marriage. Christian marriage, in other words, is an example to society, and it gives them a model for them to follow. And therefore, when it comes to solving moral problems, they can look to Christians, they can look to Christian leaders, to people who are totally committed to the Lord Jesus, and people who are following His will, who are following His teachings in the Word of God. They can look to them for advice and for counsel. Now, it's not that we're perfect. We never claim to be perfect. But I do believe that Christians who are truly living for the Lord, who are dedicated to the Lord, and whose homes are examples for society, these Christians are going to have answers that society is going to need. And then, of course, another thing is that true Christian marriages provide the only true basis for leadership in many levels of local and national government. Now, leadership is very, very important. My purpose today is not to criticize leadership. I don't want you to bring criticism upon leaders even here in the society in which we live. But I want to say that when you have a true Christian living out moral principles, a Christian who will absolutely be unstained by corruption, by anything that would tempt him in leadership, this Christian, provided, of course, he is qualified, this Christian is going to be a model leader in our societies. Now, what does this have to do with Christian marriage? I believe, first of all, as we look to leaders, we also look to the way they run their own families and their own lives and their own homes. This is very, very important. This is how we determine whether a man is a good leader. If he cannot manage his own family, we are told concerning a pastor, how can he manage the church of God? This teaching for 1 Timothy chapter 3 is a very important principle of the Word of God, that leaders, before they lead others, must prove that they themselves are practicing what they're trying to teach others to practice. So when I, as a pastor, stand in the pulpit, but my own family is a wreck, in other words, to use the expression, my own family is in tatters, then it means that I may not be qualified, I may not be fit to lead a congregation. Now, this is true in society itself. When a person is trying to teach a moral standard as a leader, but they themselves do not follow it, there may be corruption, there may be other problems in their leadership. When this is true, then they themselves may be unfit to lead in society. Now, I believe again that people who have proven themselves in their homes, and of course beginning with their individual lives and then in their homes and their families, these people, providing they're qualified, I say again, they must be qualified to be a leader, but providing they're qualified, are going to be model leaders in society. And so I believe the family has an important effect upon society itself. Now, we're going to be continuing this, and I want to talk in the next message a little bit about children and young people. Why are true Christian marriages important for them? But we've thought today about why true Christian marriages are important in society for parents and adults. Just thinking of us as adults in our marriage relationships, why are these so important in society? May the Lord help you and may the Lord bless you as you consider how these things may apply to your lives today. And may God help you to be everything that God wants you to be. May the Lord bless you, each one.